I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. I would like to read from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We want to begin with the 11th verse. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 11 and reading through verse 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Before we begin to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one true and living God. And we're thankful that we can say our Father, because we know that you are our Father, that we are your children. We thank you for the great peace that we have in our souls, and knowing that we have a Heavenly Father who is the God of heaven and earth, who is all-powerful and all-wise. And we thank you for establishing thy church in the earth and for blessing us to be able to be a part of thy church. And thank you, Lord, for giving us thy holy word. We can read and study, and we can learn more about Jesus every day. We pray that you would help us this day as we come together into thy house, that we might hear the word of God. Thy Spirit would be our teacher. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we ask you to fill us all with Thy Spirit, not only this day in Thy house, but every day of our lives. We pray that we might walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We pray that you would help us in everything that we would do, that we would do it to Thy name's honor and glory. We do beg Thy blessings upon every individual that's here today and each home that's represented. Pray that you would bless them and all of their loved ones. Pray also that you would bless those that are sick and afflicted, that thou as the great physician would touch their bodies and lift them up and restore them to their health. We ask thee to bless those who have lost loved ones, and pray that you would comfort their hearts, give them a special measure of thy grace, give them the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We pray again now that you would help us all to live close to thee and close to each other. We beg thy blessings upon our nation. Pray that you would have mercy on us. And as things are going on that are very contrary to thy word, we pray that you would help us to restore the righteous principles upon which our nation was founded. We pray that you would help us to know what to do and help us to do it. Again, now bless us as we study in this hour. Help us to worship thee and help us to teach the truth and learn the truth and walk in the truth. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. The Word of God says, Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Now, there is a rest, listen carefully, there is a rest for God's people when this life is over. There is an eternal rest, where all the people of God will be in the eternal heaven forever. And we do not labor to enter into that rest. It is not by our works or our labors that we enter the eternal heaven. And yet there is a rest for God's people while they live here in this world. It's called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And we have to labor to enter into that rest. That's what Paul is speaking about here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. He said, Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I think most of you know and understand that in the Scriptures, sometimes the Word of God, sometimes the Word of God has reference to the written Word of God, and sometimes the Word of God has reference to the living Word of God. The living Word of God is Jesus Christ. And God has given us His written Word. And if we follow His written Word, then we enter into that rest. And it's because of the living Word that we enter into the eternal rest. And when the Word of God here says that the Word of God, go back and look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I believe that the primary way that that's talking about is that the living Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13 explains that further when it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in, what's the next word there? His sight, that is, in the sight of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I want us to think this morning about primarily the last part of verse 13, where the Word of God says that all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That is, God sees everything. There is nothing that ever goes on in our lives but what God sees what is happening. When you think back as you look in the Word of God at different people back there in the Garden of Eden, did God know that Satan was about to tempt Eve in the Garden of Eden? Did God see what was happening there? God saw what was happening there. Then you come on further in the Word of God all the way through, but just want to mention three or four instances in Genesis chapter 16, the Word of God tells us about Hagar. You remember Hagar was Sarah's handmaid. You remember how after Abraham had lain with Hagar, and then Sarah pushed Hagar out of the house and sent her away. And Hagar, with her young child Ishmael, was out there in the wilderness and was about to die. Did you know that nobody else saw what had happened to Hagar? No one saw the miserable way that Sarah had treated her except who? Who saw all of that? God saw all of that. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God saw what happened to Hagar. And then when Hagar was out there in the wilderness and was alone with her child and no one else saw them and they were about to die, the Word of God says that the Lord came to them, the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and God began to speak to her, and God provided for Hagar and her son out there in the wilderness. And Hagar said, "Thou, God, seest me." You think about that. There was Hagar way out in the wilderness. No one else saw her, but she knew in her heart right then, "Thou, God, seest me." She knew that in the midst of all of her troubles and problems, that God was right there and God saw what she was going through. When Joseph, as faithful a man as Joseph was, and his brothers hated him, and he was sold into Egyptian bondage, and he was down there in prison in Egypt. You know why he was in prison? He was in prison because he was tempted by a woman, and he refused Potiphar's wife. He did what was right. Do you know that the only people that actually saw what was going on right there was Joseph, Potiphar's wife, and who else was there? God was there. Did God see the faithfulness and the integrity of Joseph when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife? Did God see the faithfulness of Joseph? And yet Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph, and Joseph was cast into prison. Did God know what had gone on right there? God knew. Nobody else knew the truth except Potiphar's wife. But God knew what he was in prison for, and for 17 years he was in prison. Did God see Joseph every day that he was in prison? Was God there with him while he was in prison? God was with him right there. God saw everything that was going on in Joseph's life. And as Stephen stood there And he preached and told those people. In Acts chapter 7, he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, as your fathers did resist the Holy Ghost, so do ye." And they began to stone Stephen for speaking the truth, what God had told him to tell them. As Stephen was being stoned to death, guess who saw what was happening right there? Guess who knew the truth about what Stephen was doing? It was God who was seeing what was going on. And the amazing and beautiful thing is that in the midst of all of that killing that was going on right there, while they were stoning Stephen to death, Stephen lifted up his eyes to heaven and he saw the Son of God standing at the right hand of the Father. He saw Jesus seeing him. Brethren, we need to know and understand what Hebrews 4 and verse 13 says when it says, "All things are naked and opened unto him with whom we have to do." God sees everything in our lives. Every problem that you have, every burden that you have, everything that we're doing, God sees everything that's going on. In fact, these little babies, Christy's got a baby in her womb. Do you know God sees that baby? Now, we can do ultrasound. We can do other kinds. We can even do 3D imaging today. But did you know that we have? There's nobody that has literally seen that baby except God. God has seen that baby. Psalm 139 tells us that while we were, and every one of you, while you were in your mother's womb, did you know God saw you when you were right there? God saw you and God formed you while you were in your mother's womb. Isn't it amazing that all things are naked and open unto him with whom we have to do? All things. All things are naked and open unto him with whom we have to do. He sees it all. He knows everything. He not only knows what you're doing. Now, I can see that you're in God's house, and I'm thankful that you're in God's house today. But God knows what you're thinking about right now. Did you know that? Some are here that are concentrating on the Word of God, and others may be thinking about something else. But I'm telling you, God sees what's going on in your mind. God sees what's going on in your mind, and God sees what's going on in your heart. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says that there were those that came to him, the scribes and Pharisees, and he says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their what? But their heart is far from me." Have you ever been in church? Have you ever been in the house of God and your heart was far away from God? I have no doubt, brethren, that there have been times that I've been in the house of God and my heart has been far away from God. And God knows my heart. See, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. So God not only knows everything that I do, but God knows why I do everything that I do. God knows right down into my heart. God looks right down into my heart. He knows my mind. He knows my heart even better than I know myself. There have been times that I have been doing things that were right and good, and all of a sudden God would bring it to my attention that the reason I was doing it was not acceptable in His sight. And I would have to start over and ask God to forgive me. Because even when you do what's right, if it's not a work of faith and a labor of love, then it's not acceptable to God. And God is the only one, and you, that knows what your feelings and your thoughts are all about. But God does know. God knows. God knows every day. When you have evil thoughts, you ever have evil thoughts? Well, when you have those evil thoughts, no one else may know what you're thinking, but God does know, because the Scripture declares here, all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Let's go back in our Bibles, back up just a moment, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 32. Look at Jeremiah chapter 32. The Word of God here talks about how God is a powerful God. God is a loving God. God is a merciful God. God is a gracious God. And yet God does watch what we do. When I was a boy, we used to sing a song, "There's an All-Seeing Eye." Anybody know what the last two words are of that song? Watching you. And me and a friend of mine that were the same age, every time we'd get to that "watching you," we'd say, "Watching you," and we'd point to each other. Watching you, watching you. Well, listen, brethren, God was watching him, but God was watching me. Isn't that an amazing thing? Right now, my eyes are on one person. I can only watch one person at a time. Now, I can kind of back up and just kind of generally see a congregation, but man is limited in even what he can see. You know, right now I'm looking at Brother Neil. I'm watching you. I'm looking at you. I can't see everyone else. I can have peripheral vision and see some things, but I'm only concentrating on one person. That's the difference. One of the many differences in God and man is I can only look at one person at a time. The amazing thing about God is he can look at all people at the same time. All the time. Hey, thank you, Brother Neil. All the time. I took my eyes right off you. God never takes his eyes off of any one of you. He is always looking at you. Night and day. When you're sleeping, I'll tell you, there's a demon that many people believe in that's supposedly watching all things at all times. And that demon ought not to be getting the glory that he's being given today. But there's a God of heaven and earth that all of those characteristics are true of. God, listen carefully, brethren, God is the only one who sees you when you're sleeping and knows when you're awake. God is the only one who is all-seeing and all-knowing. And when you teach your children that there's little fairies out there and other things out there that see you when you're sleeping and know when you're awake, you're teaching them the characteristics that belong to God and God alone. And I want to warn all of you that you are not to give glory to another, and you're not to give glory to any individual or person or place or thing, and give them glory and speak about them as if they're all-knowing and all-powerful and can go all over the world in one night. God alone can do that. And God does that. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. God, not Santa Claus. God knows. And God alone. Don't you teach your children lies. You teach them the truth that God alone. And God does. And it's not 1 2-week period of the year. It's all year long, always, every day. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're doing. And he knows why you're doing it. The powerful God of heaven and earth, the sovereign God, and the only true and living God. There are a lot of other false gods, but there's only one true and living God. Look now in your Bibles at Jeremiah chapter 32. Listen, please, to verses 18 and 19. Jeremiah chapter 32. Let me start in verse 16. Jeremiah 32, starting in verse 16, the Word of God says, "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord God, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power." You believe in the creation of this world, or do you believe in evolution? Brethren, God created this earth, and he created in 6 literal days. And so it is that Jeremiah is giving glory to God, and he says, "Thou, God, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Isn't that a beautiful statement? There is nothing too hard for thee. Can God bless you in the nursing home to be just as happy as if you lived in a mansion? Can God bless you when you come to the house of God? Can God bless you to be feeling his presence and his power as great as anywhere on this earth? Can God bless you in your home if you're unable? Can he bless you while you're in the nursing home and one day may reach a time that you're not able to be in the house of God? Can he bless you to still feel his presence and his power right there? Absolutely he can. Yes, I believe with all of my heart there are people that are providentially hindered and unable to be in the house of God this day that are feeling the presence and the power of God. There's nothing too hard for him. And that's what the 17th verse says. There is nothing too hard for thee. Verse 18 says, "Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompenses the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. Let me tell you something. You better be careful about the evil that you do. You better be careful about it.
Amen.
Your children will experience a lot of the hell because of what you've been doing. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. Now listen to verse 19. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine... Here's what we came after primarily. The last part of verse 19 says, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men. His eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men. Now what's the next part say? Here's a reason. To give everyone according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. Does God see all that you do? And does God give you according to the fruit of your doings? If your fruit is evil, if your fruit is wild, he will give you according to the fruit of your doings. But if your fruit is good, and you're bringing forth fruit that honors and glorifies God, he will give you according to the fruit of your doings, and you have never brought forth any fruit except his eyes saw that fruit. Think about that. I brought forth fruit in my life that I am ashamed of. God saw that. God saw it. God saw it. Everything that you do, all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And he sees all things, and he gives to every man according to his works. What does Hebrews 4:11 say? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, because all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Back up to 2 Chronicles. Look in your Bibles at 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Please look at this in your Bibles. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. Again, the Word of God here is emphasizing that God sees all things. God is looking at you. My mama often told me when I would be going out on a date or anything, she would say, just remember, Daddy would say, remember whose son you are and remember that God is watching you. Mama would just concentrate on remember God is watching you. God is watching you. Do you ever need to be reminded? Do you ever need to be reminded? Every time Mama ever said, remember, God is watching you, it had an impression on me. Now, as a teenager, I might have sometimes sloughed it off, but at least temporarily, it had an impression on me. And I want to encourage all of us. I don't think there's anybody here that doesn't know that God sees all things, that God is omniscient, that He knows all things. There's nobody here that doesn't know that. But we need to sometimes be reminded, and it needs to be impressed on my mind and my heart, Thou God seest me. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. The Word of God says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Isn't that amazing? Now that is a way that God expresses it. Let me ask you, do you know of anyone else that the Bible says goes to and fro throughout the whole earth? Is there anybody else that the Bible specifically says that he goes to and fro throughout the whole earth? Who else is there? Okay, the devil. The devil, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking what? Whom he may devour. That's the devil, that's his purpose, is to go around seeking whom he may devour. Now here, the Word of God says, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro. The Scripture says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Here's what He's doing. To show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Do you hear that? What He's saying right there in the first sentence in that 19th verse? God, His eyes are going to and fro throughout the whole earth to see whose heart is perfect toward him, and to show himself strong. God's going to show himself strong to those whose heart is perfect toward him. Immediate response to anybody that knows the Word of God is, nobody's perfect. Well, that's absolutely true. There are no human beings on this earth that are absolutely perfect. And yet, anybody else that will keep studying the Word of God will find that there is a perfection taught in the Word of God that God's people can attain to, and that's what this Scripture is talking about. The Word of God speaks of a number of people whose heart was perfect towards God. For example, and it tells us about those whose heart was not perfect towards God. For example, the Scripture says that Solomon's heart was not perfect towards God as the heart of his father was perfect towards God. David's heart, the Scripture says on more than one occasion, that David's heart was perfect towards the Lord. That means that his heart, his overall life, was centered around serving God and loving God. He wanted to do what pleased God for the most part of his life. His heart was perfect towards God. Did it ever stray? Did David's heart ever stray? Yes, it did. And it caused him trouble the rest of his life. Well, did God forgive him? God forgave him, but it caused him trouble the rest of his life. You need to understand that just because someone is forgiven, that doesn't mean the penalty for that sin is not carried out. There are many children of God today that are suffering because of sin they committed a long, long time ago. The people of God can be forgiven, and we need to thank God that He does forgive. But we also need to know that the penalty for sin still lingers in our lives. What does God do to those whose heart is perfect towards them? He shows himself strong in behalf of them. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You know, there's one little child here today, and he's sitting down there, and every word that I'm saying, his eyes, just now, I said his eyes go to and fro, and his eyes were going like this, to and fro. And everything that I'm saying, he's almost acting it out. And listen, brethren, I thank God for him. I thank God for little children. I thank God for people that will listen to the Word of God. I thank God that in His infinite power, that God can take the preaching of His Word and take little bitty children and them understand the Word of God, and then some hard-headed folks and hard-hearted folks sit there and they don't understand a word that's being said, and they'll twist and pervert what's being said. That's the devil working in people, folks. The same one whose eyes go to and fro through all the earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. That's God. He shows himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. That same God, he will show his anger when his people turn against him. Your heart's perfect towards him. He shows himself strong in a positive way. Your heart's against him. He'll show himself strong in a powerful, judgmental, chastising way. God is strong. And every child of God, while they live in this world, every child of God is going to see and feel and know something about the power of the sovereign God of heaven and earth. Go with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 15. Psalm 34, we're just going to look at a couple of more scriptures. But listen, this is very important. Psalm 34 and verse 15. I want you to know that it's a wonderful thing that God is looking at you. You know, these dear saints from the nursing home, are y'all glad that the Lord sees all your problems and troubles?
Yes, we are.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else here that can't walk? Anybody else here on oxygen that says you don't have any problems? It's a shame and a disgrace what we call problems, isn't it?
But they don't nothing touch his children that don't touch him first.
Amen.
And so we don't
let me finish preaching. You
You're doing a good job, but let me finish preaching. Listen, everything she's saying is truth now, folks. Psalm 34, verse 15. The word of God says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." Isn't that wonderful? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. That's saying in a positive way, His eyes are watching over you. Angels watching over you. And His ears are open unto their cry. When you are serving God, when you're trying to follow God's word and God's way, when your heart is perfect towards God, the Scripture says the eyes of the Lord are watching over you, and His ears are open unto your cry. Does the Word of God teach that God will shut up His ears and not hear your cry? When God's children, you turn to Isaiah chapter 1 and many other scriptures, if you want a list, I'll give them to you. God's Word teaches that God will shut up His ears and not hear your prayers when you walk contrary to His Word. What causes that? Well, the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the whole earth, and He is judging His people according to their works. What does Hebrews 4:11 say? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. What does Hebrews 4:13 say? All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. I am so thankful these little children, babies in the mother's womb, did you know that God's watching over them? Lots of terrible things are happening to little children today. Did you know that? Both in the womb and out of the womb. Lots of terrible things are happening. Listen, brethren, God's right there. God's watching. God's watching. God knows what's happening. And God's going to carry out His judgment. Lots of evil in this world today. Lots of evil. I'm glad that God knows what's going on. And God is able to just reach down. You know, I think if anybody had watched Stephen being stoned to death, do you think his natural body reacted when those stones began to hit him? Do you think they reacted? Do you think his body reacted when those stones began to hit him? I think he did. I think his body reacted to that. Do you think the nails, when they went through the hands of Jesus, do you think his hands felt that pain? Do you think his natural body reacted to all of that pain when the crown of thorns were placed upon his hand and the nails were placed ahead and the nails were placed through his hand? Do you think his natural body felt all of those things? Indeed, they did. And when Stephen was being stoned, while he was being stoned, his natural body reacted. And I think anybody that watched that martyrdom, that watched Stephen being stoned, they would have said he died a horrible, horrible death. But I'm telling you, as the Word of God describes it, it was a marvelous way to go, wasn't it? And these little children that are being killed in their mother's wombs, it's a horrible thing that's happening, but I believe God's right there intervening and just taking that little baby on home to be with Him. And I believe all these children that are being abused right now, there are scars being placed on their hearts and minds and souls right now that sometimes may be with them forever, but when God manifests His love and grace in their hearts, they can feel the power and the presence of God. God, the eyes of the Lord are watching. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Let me go to one other scripture. Look in your Bibles at Deuteronomy 11. We'll close with this one scripture. But it's very important. I ask you to pay very careful attention to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Was the land of Canaan in the Old Testament, was the land of Canaan a special land to the Lord? Did the Lord care about that land? Did the Lord bless the land of Canaan? Yes, He did. Yes to all of those things. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, listen to verses 11 and 12. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. The Word of God says, but the land, God speaking to Israel, and He says, but the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. I want you to remember verse 12. I'm going to try to bring out a point about that. It's a land that God cares for. Do you remember that? Remember that. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always... What did you say early in the beginning, Brother Neil? What was the word you used? Always. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Brethren, it doesn't matter whether it's January 1st or December 31st, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, always, the Word of God says, the eyes of the Lord were watching what? What specifically? What's it talking about? The land of Canaan. God cared for that. You remember that? God cared for that. Now, Peter tells us this. Peter tells us, as God's children, I'm telling you, God cares for you more than He cares for that land of Egypt. I mean, land of Canaan. Did God care for the land of Canaan? Did His eyes watch over the land of Canaan? 1 Peter 5 tells us that God cares for you. God cares for you. And God watches over you always. I pray that God will help us today to praise God, worship God, and thank God that all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Even His chastening is for our good. I'm glad God watches me. I'm glad that God chastens me. I'm glad that when I do wrong, I'm glad that I can feel the judgment of God in my life. But I'm also glad that when I try to serve Him, I'm glad that God sees that and God manifests His love and His presence, and I can feel great joy and peace that passeth all understanding. Aren't you glad that God sees all things? God cares for you. Last thing I want you to remember is what's in that in Deuteronomy 11:12. God cares for you, and God is watching over you. So there's no reason for you to be afraid. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.